Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Memphis could have a postseason ban by the time next season starts. Like next season, they might not even be eligible for the NCAA tournament. Because if you go by the NCAA penalty matrix, like playing an ineligible player, it's pretty by the book. Like postseason ban is part of the punishment when you do that.
Yes.
And so that's the whole fact. Like
And Memphis did it for three games.
I frankly think that is far more important for the program than whether they hire Larry Brown or not, to be honest. Like, and it's not to say the Larry Brown story isn't a good story and isn't important. Like, hiring the only coach who's ever won a national championship in college basketball and who's ever won an NBA title and who's a Hall of Famer already, like, that's a story.
And he won a bronze medal with the U.S. Olympic team.
Yes. Also the only coach to coach two NBA teams in the same season.
Larry does.
Also only coach to take eight NBA teams to the playoffs, which is both a credit to like his ability to rebuild teams and also a credit to his ability to jump ship at the first sign of trouble.
And just be mercurial, like in general.
Yes.
I do think that
he's a fickle guy, and that I think that part isn't also being talked about enough. I mentioned it earlier, but like, you know, ultimately he's an 80-year-old guy. Like, who's to say once he gets in the thick of this thing, like he goes, oh man, I'm 80 years old. Like, this is a lot.
He'll be 81 in September.
Because I just wonder, can you really have an assistant who's doing like half the job, which is what you maybe have with Larry Brown. Like, I don't think Larry Brown's going to be out on the road, and I don't think that's the biggest deal. But if he's quote-unquote replacing Tony Madlock, like Tony Madlock pulled a lot of weight for that staff behind the scenes.
Well, especially in terms of like the day-to-day.
If you're going to hire Larry Brown.
The day-to-day for the kids, like as in like class, like staying on them and the
just
role.
Just all the administrative stuff. If you're going to have Larry Brown as one of your assistants, it to me makes whoever the third assistant is pretty important. Whether it's, you know, Jermaine Johnson, whose status seems to be in doubt at the very least, if not. You know,
he has not signed an extension. He was on a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, Penny made it clear he's making a decision. Like, he made it clear there. Like, he doesn't know. It's not certain that Jermaine Johnson is coming back.
Correct.
At the very least.
I was trying to just be factually accurate.
Yes,
he signed a one-year deal. He has not been given an extension. That's where that currently stands.
And so, to me, it makes that third assistant hire really important too, because you're going to want someone who can do some of that behind-the-scenes stuff that Tony Madlock did for you.
Well, and further. Again, this is not me reporting what I think is going to happen or speculating. This is what is a possible penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Hardaway could definitely be disciplined by the NCAA with a suspension.
I would expect a suspension of some sort of suspension. Honestly, that like if you're asking me honestly, like, and I have no actual insight into the arguments made, into the mechanics of what's actually specifically happened in this case. But if I had to guess right now, at minimum, I do think, you know, there's going to be some sort of repercussions for playing James Wiseman.
Here's why I think it's likely to be a suspension. In the cases of where you thought coaches were going to get suspensions, there had to be a fall guy. And unless there's some type of situation that we don't know about in Memphis's defense, I don't really know how there is a fall guy.
Now, and again, we don't know total specifics of the case, and we don't know, frankly, how this whole IRP thing, they haven't made a ruling yet, so you can't really even go on past precedent. Even though, again, if we're going by the book, by the rule book, you know, like something like a postseason ban is definitely in play here.
I mean, if you're just looking at the actual penalty matrix, playing an ineligible player alone is a postseason ban.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, we could be in a situation. I guess the reason why I was bringing up the possible sanctions or whatever penalties against Penny Hardaway is if this situation that you're laying out, those sanctions are designed to keep a coach from being fully active on the recruiting front.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this plan is Larry's coming in to coach ball, he's not really going to be involved in the recruiting. You see this oftentimes. There's usually, in college football, one of the coordinators is typically, like, you'll find the...
In basketball, this happens all the time. Yeah. Like, someone will hire, and you know, like, Phil Martelli at Michigan. I don't think Phil Martelli's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
You don't think he's rolling up the sleeves and getting on the road?
I think he probably goes on the road, but I don't think, like, ultimately, just like at Memphis, like, you know, Juwan Howard is the lead recruiter on most guys. And at Memphis, Penny Hardaway is ultimately the lead recruiter on most of these guys. Just because even if it's, say, Cody Toppert or in the past, Tony Madlock, first sort of building the relationship, you know, Penny's the one who's stepping in. And what's interesting, again, this whole dynamic at play here with Memphis basketball, you've got all this stuff where, like, you know, let's be real. Part of the reason you're potentially going to the Larry Brown well is because there's not a ton of options because no one's quite sure in college basketball what the short term looks like for Memphis with this IRP thing.
Yes.
But then you've got today, ESPN.com, Jeff Borzello writes this story, found it really interesting. It's like he's been going conference by conference. He's ranking the American Athletic Conference recruiting jobs in tiers. And tier one, all by themselves, is the Memphis Tigers. And it's, you know, he talked to different coaches around the league. And obviously, you know, it's twofold. It's one, it's the fact that Memphis basketball in Memphis is far more popular than any other team in their respective city within the league. And frankly, there's only maybe a couple other schools in the country that are talked about year-round the way Memphis basketball is talked about here. Maybe Kentucky, maybe Duke in North Carolina, you know, down in Raleigh, that Raleigh area.
In Greensboro, like that.
Yeah, like North Carolina, the state of North Carolina.
That middle part of North Carolina.
The state of Kentucky.
Alabama. Alabama Auburn's talked about year-round.
Well, that's football. I'm talking basketball-wise.
Yeah, basketball-wise, then I think we're probably...
That's probably it.
Yeah, I think that's
probably
those
are like the three. I mean, like... You know, like UConn basketball is pretty popular in Connecticut. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like that's the New York market. Like,
yes. You know, Michigan State, like, it's not that, you know, ultimately football is a bigger deal in Michigan than basketball. It's just, and so.
I can definitely tell you, like, UCLA, absolutely not.
No. So you have the benefits of that in that it's just more important here than anywhere else in the league. For sure, and more important here than many places around the country. And then you add in the fact that, you know, they've got an NBA arena. They've got a practice facility that from, you know, you talk to neutral observers, you talk to NBA personnel, you know, I'm not going to declare it the nicest practice facility in the country, but it's as nice as any practice facility in the country, it seems.
Yes.
And then you've got Penny, who is unlike any coach, frankly,
he has his own
in the history of college basketball, especially from a recruiting standpoint, given everything he's been through and done. And then you add on the fact that, you know, you got a really fertile recruiting territory right here. And so it makes a lot of sense that it's number one. It's the best. And frankly, it speaks to how, in general, and this is not just speaking to Penny's tenure, but just in general, since Memphis joined the AAC, how underwhelming ultimately their results have been in the AAC, given the advantages they have on everyone in the league, right?
Yeah, I mean, the comment, though, that stood out the most to me was the very last one. Did you read that?
Let's see here.
Quote, this is from one of the other coaches. I think one of their, so the thing that was consistently pointed out to Mark's point, everyone talks about the facilities, the fact that it is most of the AAC schools are in metropolitan areas, but most of them are in metropolitan areas where they're not only are they not
like just now in the last couple years, it feels like Houston became aware that the University of Houston has a pretty good basketball program, for instance.
And to like that point, they've still... Like,
and Cincinnati shares the spotlight with Xavier in Cincinnati.
Well, but more importantly, like on top of that...
And it's a pro sports town.
Yeah, Houston, like you've got all three major sports.
Yeah.
And then on top of that...
Cincinnati's got football like, and baseball.
And Houston has got A&M and Texas. And then, you know, like they're just... They don't ever become part
of it. There's probably more University of Texas fans in Houston than...
Or A&M, yeah.
Or A&M than Houston fans in Houston.
Right.
I'm almost sure of it.
So... They're not like the focal point of the conversation. And whereas like Memphis is not as dominant of the conversation as it once was, we're still talking about an assistant basketball coach on June the 9th.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Larry Brown. It's like a big name.
Correct. That is not a regular occurrence in the world of sports.
For instance, in like DC, they don't talk about Maryland and Georgetown. Like Maryland and Georgetown are pretty big brands in college basketball. It barely talked about in the D.C. area until college basketball season starts.
And the term.
And even then, honestly, that's like November, December, it's still NFL season.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Coaching carousel. I mean, usually football team's involved in that.
So it's just an interesting. And I actually recommend you go read this because.
Okay, but this was the quote, though, that I wanted your opinion on. I think one of their biggest recruiting knocks is they do rely heavily on Memphis, one coach said. If you're a big-time national kid, but there's a local Memphian already at your position, you might get caught in a political game. That could be a detriment. If all things are even or pretty even, they got to play the Memphis kid.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
I actually vehemently disagree with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, if anything, what we've seen more recently is unless the Memphis kid is like can't miss, whatnot, there's a little more hesitation on recruiting out of high school, Memphis kids.
I don't know about with Penny. It certainly seemed like, you know, Tubby obviously did not really get any Memphis kids. I don't think he got any while he was here.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
And you saw with Josh, the big knock was he did get a lot of the great best Memphis kids, but ultimately people felt as if those players did not reach their potential while under Josh. Would you say that's kind of how the view
was?
Yeah,
I think in the, yes.
Even though they were good, like guys like Joe Jackson had a great career.
To distill it into one statement.
Tarik Black while
Josh,
he was here.
Josh can recruit him, he can't coach him. That would have been if you would have had to synthesize it into one, like the take into the atmosphere into one thing. That
but I actually don't, I actually don't agree with that. I mean, we've seen plenty of, you know, Will Barton was great here, not from out of, you know, he's from out of town. Even though he had guys who were from Memphis competing with him for playing time. I mean, shoot. You look at, you know, like DJ Jeffries was a local kid, but like Precious Achiuwa played above him.
You know what this
Lester Quinones has gotten more minutes than him over the past couple
of years. You know
what
this comment, the reason why I brought it up, you know what it really reeks of to me?
Mm-hmm.
That would be another coach going, what the hell are they doing playing Lomax over Boogie?
Now I could see an argument. A better argument is, and I'm not saying this is I agree with this, but I think it's a more I could actually listen to it more than this more general. They'll play a Memphis kid. Now, are players who have played for Penny for a number of years?
Yeah.
Do they get, you know, more of a benefit of the doubt?
They have a little longer rope.
Maybe I'd be willing to listen to that, but nonetheless, from a recruiting standpoint. And from just looking at the immediate future, if you're able to block out the off the court stuff, like the program is in a pretty good place, even though they haven't made the tournament for whatever it's been 7 years at this point. And then the other thing that I found really interesting about this.
Okay, I'm sick of being this guy though, but like you can't just say that.
No, I know.
Like,
yeah, I know. No, that's the point we're trying to make is that you really like as much as you want to focus on the good stuff, we're getting closer and closer to a point where you're not going to be able to ignore the bad stuff.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, what's, you know, that period between a conviction and sentencing. Like, yeah.
Well, I haven't been convicted of anything yet, Jeffrey.
Okay.
They haven't been. Let's just.
That is true.
They haven't.
Well, and they technically will never get convicted of anything.
Do you want to know the other tiers of the AAC?
Sure. Let's hear it.
Tier two, Houston and Cincinnati.
Yep, no problem there.
Okay. Some interesting things here about that. Basically, the big thing with Houston is they've invested a lot of money in that program since Kelvin Sampson got there.
No question.
That's part of it. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but they've also, it feels like, just like they tried to
they
go all in on football.
Sweet, sweet, sweet Fertitta money.
Well, it feels like the Houston football boosters are like, well, this football thing's a little harder than we thought. Let's put some of the money into basketball.
Yeah, and the Fertitta family's like big basketball people
That's
in general.
True. And it's called the Fertitta Center. No, mm-hmm. They've got nice new facilities. And then Cincinnati.
Renovated, please.
Cincinnati, we shall see. You know, obviously, like it took a 2-year dip here with a bad hire. But ultimately, again, their facilities are top-notch. Like, they are the one school in the league that has, like, all of its sports facilities
on campus.
On campus in a central location. Like, it's a really, as they point out, when you take a, you can impress a kid when you take them on an official visit to Cincinnati because their facilities are nice and it's like a, you know, there's just not that many teams in the AAC that have like great campus environments.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And Cincinnati's apparently got a, I've only walked through the athletics part and it is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, SMU's kind of in its own little caliber. But
and then they care about basketball out
yes.
there. That's the other thing. It's the closest, I think, in terms of like, it's the closest thing to Memphis in the league in terms of the passion for the program.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Houston's gotten really into it in the past couple years, and they've been really good. But like Cincinnati for 30, 40 years has been, you know,
I think
very passionate.
I think there's also an element with Houston. They're winning.
Yes. Tier three, Wichita State, SMU, and Temple. And I thought some interesting points here. Wichita State, it gets marks in a positive direction because resources-wise, they've shown that, you know, they are willing to spend if they need to. And then the home atmosphere and the fan base are top-notch, you know, in terms of passion and all that. You know, like, Cincinnati, I guess you'd have to group Wichita State in that group of
passion.
Most passionate fans for their program. I mean, that going to a home game in that building in Wichita is crazy. It's so loud. But, you know, it's Wichita. It's like, you know, there's not a lot of recruiting fertile recruiting bases near you. There's Kansas City, but like Kansas and Kansas State.
I was about to say, like, at best, you're the second biggest program in your state, and I don't even think that's really true.
Now, like Kansas State, are you really going to win a lot of head-to-head battles with Kansas State? I don't know. But what was interesting is it sounds like, according to coaches in the league, SMU is the kind of, they're in tier three, and it feels like they're kind of an underachiever in that, you know, there's nothing infrastructure-wise holding them back, one coach said. They should kill it. And really, the only success they've had recently is under Larry Brown, when they ran afoul of NCAA rules, and then Tim Jankovic's first year with Larry Brown's players when he won the league in 2017.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.